Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and thank you for the prayer. And realize it's much needed in this day and age, and as it always seemed to have been and is, because we're still in the battle between truth and evil. And it seems like it's going to follow Paul right down to his grave. So this is where we are. And we're getting close to winding it up, but where we left off last week was verse 9, but now we read verse 9, but we didn't read Jack's notes, and there is no scripture to go with this particular verse of scripture. It kind of stands for itself here. And I'll just go back and read it again, and then I'll read it to you as I always have out of the King James Version, and then I'll read it out of Jack's Version, because I don't have any, notes that I made on it, because it's pretty self-explanatory and to the point. And I think as we look at it and as we go through it that way, that it will make sense, because Paul is trying to get Timothy to come to him, and to come to him as quick as he can. And he realizes that his time is about up, so I think this was the great plea of Paul to get Timothy there in a hurry before he had given it up completely. And so it says this. We'll go back there, and this is going to be study. This is going to be study 219. And in going through the workman's interlinear with Jack. And it says this in verse 9 of out of the King James. It says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Full stop. So this one very little short statement here says it all as far as Paul is concerned toward Timothy. And then what follows that is a plea of understanding as to Paul looking around and kind of taking the census here of what's happening and what's going on. And so I think that was really the reason. And it says out of the Koine Greek, it says, "Be diligent to come toward me quickly."
What verse is that? Lord was asking.
That's verse
9
of chapter 4.
And sorry, Lord, I just saw your question.
But that's now from this on to the end of the chapter, and to the end of Paul's letter, is expository, and it is also private and personal. But yet, it was saved for us to see and to know. And so here we are. We're looking at it. And so from verse 9 down through the end of of this chapter is some of the people, it's probably not all the people, but it is some of the people that Paul had association with during his ministry in the book of Acts, starting there and carrying on down to these last seven letters that he wrote. And of course, Acts was done by Luke. And if you want to go back and look at it, which I think Titus had a great deal to do with the first part of this Acts rendering for Luke, because Luke don't include himself until you get to the 16th chapter. And then he is not a standout in this thing, because it was given to Paul to do what he was supposed to do. So having said that, I want to read you what Jack wrote in his notes. And then we'll get more closer to tonight's study. And it said, be diligent, Paul tells Timothy. And he tells Timothy to come as soon as possible. The following verse gives more reason for the urgency. So it's going to be clear to you as you continue to read on as to the urgency here that Paul really wants to see Timothy and to have contact with him, you know, maybe man to man or whatever, because he wants him there. He's wanting to see him one more time. And that's not a big deal for somebody that knows his time is up. That's a kind of a normal thing. You know, if you've got something and you realize your time's up, you're going to change your way of doing things a little bit. So in Paul's writings here, it changes somewhat too. And it says he can be reasonably certain that Timothy will do his best to come to him shortly, because he knows if he puts that plea out there strongly enough to Timothy, he's going to do what it takes to get there. And so this is the great plea of a dying man, basically, or somebody that knows his time is just about over, without even arguing about it, I think. I mean, there's just no argument there to be had. And so we get, there's no, Jack didn't give any other writings that we need to look at, because of this thing was kind of more private there was no need, real need for that. But verse 10, an understanding there that how Paul goes back into his plea to Timothy. In verse 10 says this, in the King James Version, it says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having left this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. And then here's another two parts of this same verse of scripture, but it has a different meaning as to the outcome of this, because Paul don't condemn these other two people, but he does condemn Demas. And he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. So it gives you a different point of view here of what Paul is looking at these three individuals. One of them, he's kind of made a statement, and the other two, it's like, you know, they haven't forsaken me. They're gone their own way for some reason or other.
Yeah.
And so there's a difference there. And when you...
Well, they may have been sent on missions by Paul or yeah. errands or deliveries.
Well, we'll just read it and see. In my notes here is this. For Demas hath forsaken or forsook... And if you look in the King James Version or in the Strong's, you will see that there is a word there. It is in kataliopo. And that means to forsake or to abandon. In the Strong's, it's number 1632. So he says, the Demas has forsaken or abandoned me, having loved this present world, or this age that now is, and that is the word aeon. And it could be even more different in our day today or now. It would even be more different now than probably that it showed up some 60 years after Christ had come here and was on the earth and had been crucified and in the grave 3 days and then was with them for 40 days. And he told them when he went back, he said, stay here till for the Passover and at least stay in Jerusalem until the Passover and then the Comforter will come. And he called the Holy Spirit the Comforter, which would indwell you rather than be with you or by you or, you know, in that stead there. Okay. And he says, and is departed unto Thessalonica. So, according to Paul, Demas had forsaken him and just, I guess you could say, he packed his bag and went into Thessalonica. And like, well, Paul, I see you've done about all you can do. I'll see you, buddy. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way Paul looked at it, I think.
Bail on.
And we see that this has become a contrast here. So, Paul writes and says, with Crescens to Galatia, and we must mention here that he had gone to Galatia at his own instance, probably, and with the apostles' consent. So, if they sit down and have a little talk about it, and he tells Crescens, well, you know, you go on to Galatia, that's all right. I'm okay. And the same with Titus. And he says, Titus unto Dalmatia. And it says that it seems to be as Crescens also, for the word unto was added also in there that both of them had kind of had the word added unto them because so maybe he sat down with the two, with Titus and also with the Crescens and said, okay, you go here and you go here. That's all right with me. I don't have no problem with that. Because it seemed like Paul had the rule and the authority until he got to where he couldn't. Where he was getting weak. so much that he was actually begging Timothy to come and see him. And these things that he wanted Timothy to bring with him. One of them was Mark, that they had parted ways a long time ago, but evidently Mark was with Timothy in Ephesus.
Or at least Timothy knew where he was.
Yeah. Or at least he knew that Timothy could get a hold of him and bring him back.
That's the plan.
So that's another part of the story. But, you know, when we look at this, we see that the story is kind of taking different routes, but still, Paul is feeling his loneliness and getting ready to give it up. But let's read what Jack says here. And now the Koine Greek, it says this, Demas for me forsook, having loved the new age, and is gone unto Thessalonica, Crescens unto Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. He said there's a contrast in this verse. Demas forsook Paul. And he forsook Paul, according to what Jack's writing here, for no good reason. Paul does not say that he forsook Christ, but his reason for leaving makes it clear that this is the case. Christ did not forsake Demas, however. Demas may at some future time repent and come back to the Lord. And Paul, well, he'll have to do it pretty quick if he does that. And Jack makes Crescens a little different in his notes here. It's called Croesus went to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. I don't know why that was changed there. I need to look into that. And probably will before I get out of the end of the chapter, or maybe sum it all up, that what he said privately here, and see if we can get a little different look on this thing and see. Because there's several things here that don't really make a tremendous amount of fullness. And Jack says, we may assume that their reasons for leaving are different from Demas's. While they're not sent by Paul, they may have been summoned or had duties to take care of in these areas. So, that might be something else to look at. And certainly it's not you know, to take a week or a month. It might take a week, but it may not take a month to look at this to see if we can make a little more sense of that. But we've got several verses of scripture that we need to look at here. Now, since we're in this part of this study, so we're looking at things that are happening there that sometimes we don't seem to know the rest of the story, as the man on television used to say. Yeah. So, well, let's look at the notes here and chase them down and see what's being said here. But when we do this, it's going to be a kind of a who's where, and what are they there for, you know, in a sense. And it may not make much sense to us with the notes that Jack gave us, but yet we need to maybe tie all this together a little closer than I could when I started looking at it here. So we're going to look at, look back and see some of these things, and we want to start at Romans, in the book of Romans, and we're going to look at Romans 15. And you might say, well, what are we seeing here in Romans 15? Well, maybe it'll make sense, maybe it don't. That's the reason I said, well, maybe we ought to look at it a little bit in more depth when we get done with the rest of the chapter. So, in 15, we're going to look at verses 17 and 19 in Romans 15. And this is on page 1691 if you have a companion Bible. And we're going to look at 17 through 19. And it says this in verse 17 of chapter 15 on page 1691. Says this, I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. And I'll just read 19 too, because I looked at it and I wanted to, but I didn't put it down. It says, through mightily signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Because that seems to make what he said a little more pliable in the fact that where he went and where he preached and what he said and how he said it, and all this was done for a reason. And it was done for the Gentiles. Even though, you know, he hadn't got the rest of the story here. Paul did not have the rest of the story when he wrote Romans. But he was beginning to get it in that sense, because what Ronnie's been doing on Sunday morning for a while between that and Galatians is, makes a little more sense when you look at what I just wrote. What I just read there for you. Okay, we go from Romans 15, and we're going to look at Colossians 4. So we're going over to Colossians, going through Philippians, and going to Colossians. In Colossians 4, and I'm going to leave my marker here because in the next verse, Jack puts it in again for some reason. And I didn't understand that as much as I should have. So I said, man, this is getting a little deeper than I've noticed it to be, because for a reason, either Jack or Paul one had, or Jack had been, offered by the Holy Spirit, put it in there twice, in that verse and in the next verse too. Okay, so 4:12 through 14 of Colossians. That's on page 1786 if you have a companion Bible. Colossians 4:12 through 14. Yeah, I'm going to go back and read 10 through 14 next time I do it in the next verse of Scripture, because there's other people mentioned here. It says in 12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are at Laodicea, and them that are higher, that are them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Oh, so Demas is still there at that point. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, if you play a little detective work through the book of Acts and some of these other epistles, you sort of get a timeline to figure out who's where.
Yeah. Who is some of these places? That'll take a little time, so I won't do that when I finish this up. Okay. So don't think I'm getting stuck on something and just going to stay in one place. And then we're going to look at 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 20. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 20. And that's on page 1807, and we're going to start with verse 17 of 1 Timothy 6. And it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly. I like to put the all things to enjoy. All things. I like the all things because absolutely what we have are the all things that God wants us to know. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. In verse 20 or 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And then he says this, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain. Let me turn the page. This one is really in vain babblings opposed to science, falsely so called. Okay, that's the third one. And the fourth one is in the little letter to Philemon. And we're going to look at it twice, but not the same scripture. In Philemon, we're going to look at verses 2 through 6, because they ain't but one chapter, so. And I'll just go ahead and read verse 1 with it. 1 through 6. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother. And that's on page 1821 if you have a companion Bible. Unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's that one. And there is one more. And we're going to look at John, 1 John 2. In 1 John 2, let's see if we can find it here. Oh, it's behind Hebrews. Yeah. Here we go. In 1 John 2, we're going to look at verses 15 through 17. That's on page 1872, if you have a companion Bible. 15 through 17. It says this, love not the world. This is kind of getting back to Demas. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Yep.
So you see, these things that God set up between the seed of Satan and the seed of man is still going on. Because that's the things you learn from the world. That is the words, the English words then was T-O-R. Because these things come from man. They don't come from God. The things of God, He gives to you in wisdom through His book and through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. But these things that we go to school and learn are we're under a mentor or someone who has got his wisdom, not from the Word of God maybe, but from other men. And so the things that ends in T-O-R, just things that you've accomplished from man to man and not from God to man so much. I just wanted to bring that out one more time that we might see and know. Okay, let's go back to 2 Timothy again and see what the next verse of Scripture brings to us. Here we go. We're going to look at verse 11. Now we've seen that Demas had forsaken Paul. He left on his own. In Crescens, maybe Paul allowed him to go somewhere. Maybe they sat down with Crescens and Titus and had a little talk, and he sent one somewhere and the other one somewhere else. Because it's not the same situation. It's not a forsaking year. It may be for some reason that we don't know about. So let me read Luke out of the King James. It says, only Luke is with me. And he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Well, it seems like Paul's made a little change of heart with Mark somewhere here. That Mark has, for a time, had forsaken Paul in his early ministry in his first trip out. But here he is. He said, Timothy, look him up. Bring him with you. It's just like, almost like, if you have to, bring him in chains or whatever, you know. It's just that it seems like it's that important to Paul now. He don't say that, but that was Paul's kind of a deal. He could apprehend people and take them back to Jerusalem and throw them in the pokey, and nobody didn't have anything to say about that. But you know, when him and Barnabas parted company, he says, you know, take Mark with you and go. And he picked up Silas. He picked up, at that time, he picked up Silas in the book of Acts. Yep. And so, here we are. Now, what's my note say on this one? Only Luke is with me. This faithful and devoted champion shared Paul's labors and afflictions for so many years. Luke includes himself into the Acts for the first time at Acts 16:10. Luke kept himself in the background of Paul's ministry and surely was a great comfort to Paul all these years. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee. This is to Timothy. As you travel, Timothy, wherever he's at, you go get him.
Be around him.
And bring him. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Oh, okay. So he realizes that Timothy's going to need all the help he can get. And Paul looks around and he says, well, there ain't many of us left here. And they may not be here when you get here. But if you bring Mark with you, he'll be here. And that's kind of the gist is how I see this working out here. Okay. Now, let's see what it says in the Koine Greek on verse 11. He says in verse 11, it says, Luke is alone with me. Mark, having taken, bring with yourself. He says this, and having taken Mark, you get him. Whatever it takes to bring him, you bring him, okay? For he is for me useful unto service. It doesn't say what that service might be, but there's a reason for this being said. And it was so important that he was going to maybe hold Timothy up a little bit so Timothy could find and get a hold of Mark and say, and how much persuasion is it going to take to get Mark back in the presence of maybe of Paul again? Because Paul didn't have really good words to say to him when they parted company. So, you know, he says, you come quickly, but don't let that get in the way of anything, you see. But here we got kind of layers upon layers of this stuff going on that went on years ago, years later, and we know that man with man sometimes don't forget things too good. And so here we are. Now, having said this, Mark having taken, bring with yourself, for he is useful unto service. This is what Jack writes. I don't know if they sum up it on the next page or not, but I'm going to get it ready if it does, where I can turn the page. No, we're all right. And it says this in Jack's notes here, and his notes are kind of short on this one. It is an intriguing thing to track the lives of the apostles through the book of Acts. Oh, okay. I said, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And Pauline and Petrine apostles, how encouraging it is to see that Mark, despite earlier difficulties, had become faithful and useful to the Lord in the Pauline service. So do you think we can find the answer to that? Maybe, maybe not. But it's worth taking a look, don't you think? Wouldn't you like to know if you could find it out? Well, that's the reason that Colin wanted to do that. Okay. And so there's several places here that we need to look at concerning verse 11. And we better get started at it because I think I got enough time to do that one. Turn with me back to Acts. And we're going to start at Acts 12. Acts 12. Here we go. Acts 12. In Acts 12, we're going to look at verse 12. 12:12 and 12:25. So 12:12 is on 1608 and 25 is on page 1609 if you have a companion Bible. So Acts, and this is not going to be, it's not going to be the only two that we look at. And I think I need to go back to verse 11 to see what it said there. Okay, this is where Peter, we've been taken captive, I think. Yeah. Peter's imprisonment. And starts in 12:3, but we're going to read 11. Start with 11 and 12. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews that were there at that place." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. You remember they was having a prayer vigil at this house, and Paul had got loose from jail, and he left it in his dust, and he went over there. And he came and knocked on this door. And this girl came to the door and realized who he was. We couldn't believe it was him. Okay, let's go down to verse 25. And he said, "Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." So that's where they picked up John Mark with into their ministry, because they were going to leave there and they were going to make a little trip out to the some of the islands and around in the Mediterranean and back. And Mark decided, this ain't for me. And he was, and he was going to leave them at that point. Okay. We've seen that. Okay, we went through verse 25. Now let's go to Acts 15. We're going to go from Acts 13 to Acts 15. And we're going to look at Acts 15, and we're going to look at verse 37 through 39. Now I'll have to go over another page or two. That's on page 1618. So we didn't go with just a few pages over if you have a companion Bible. And I'm going to start with 36. It says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let's go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus." So here's where the split took place. They had went around and Mark had went with them. And for whatever reason, Mark didn't feel like this was his calling. So he decided he was going to back out on them. And so that's where they went with that deal. So that was where we are in chapter 15. And now we're going to look at chapter 20. I told you, the story just kind of goes on and on. We're going to look at 20, verse 5, and verse 16. Okay. We can get verse 5 on page 1633, and the other one is on page 1634. Okay. 20, verse 5. It says, well, let's just look at 4 and 5 because there's others here. "And there accompanied him to Asia, Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas." So they were the group they were waiting on Paul and who was with him at that? Was Silas with him at this time? And then we're going to look at where am I at? 25 and then verse 16. And it said, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he had hasted as if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost." There was a day of Pentecost there. So he wanted to be there on the day of Pentecost for whatever reason. Okay, then we're going to look at chapter 21, Now on chapter 21, we're going to look at verse 15. 21:15, and that's, you'll find that on page 1637. And it says, Paul says, there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. One more. 27:2. I told you. It just goes on and on in Acts. And it's kind of blow by blow as to what they were doing and who they were with. And 27 deals with the beginning of the getting involved with what we would call a hurricane. He was on his way under guard to Rome to see Caesar. And it says, when it was determined that we should sail unto Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Justus, a centurion of the Augustus band, and entered into the ship of, I can't pronounce that word, I don't think, Adramyttum. We launched, meaning to sail, by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. The next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul, gave him liberty to go unto his friends and to refresh himself. So you see, he was meeting these people that he knew and had, you know, all the time. And so, you know, you go from Acts 27 to Acts 28. The storm came. They rode out the storm. The angel appeared unto Paul and said, if you guys will stay with the ship, nobody will be lost. Yep. And guess what?
Nobody
was lost.
But you're going to lose the ship.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get the rest of this in. Okay, we're going to look from that. And I know that took a good little bit. We're going to go back to Colossians 4 again. And that's the reason I didn't move my marker out of there. But in Colossians 4, we're going to read an extra two verses of Scripture again. That we started with 12 before. This time we're going to start at 10. Colossians 4:10. And it said, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salutes you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, who is called Justus, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. And Paul says, I bear him record that he has great zeal for you. I've already read it. We've already done that. But Jack wanted you to read it again. And so therefore, we did. Okay. The next one is Philemon, but it wasn't Philemon 1 through 6. It is Philemon 23 and 24. Okay. Philemon 23 and 24. But we read 22 first. It says, but this is the last three verses of Philemon on page 1822, if you have a companion Bible. But withal, Paul says, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. And the grace of our Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen. One more. 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, 12 through 14. We'll be done. Made it just about almost on time. He says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salute you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you, all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know he had a church in Babylon?
That's what it says. That
is what he says. So, guess what? You know, these questions are here. And so, we probably need to look at them a little bit. Wouldn't hurt. If the Lord gives us that opportunity, we'll do it. So, this is what I had tonight. And I started to add another verse in here, and I said, nah, I'll wait. Because that's about, if I get a good page or a little better than a page in my little book here,
yeah, well,
that's about all I can do in that sense. So, yep, we did raise a few questions, maybe a few eyebrows, but yet, let's see if the answers are around, if it can be had. Might not be able to have them, but we'll try and see when we finish this up. Let's go back and take these people and read a little bit about them. It won't hurt to do that at all. Because if they were under the hearing of the Apostle Paul, they were under the right man at the right time to do that with. So gracious is our love toward the Word, so much so that it should make us want to look. And so we, if the Lord will allow it, we'll do that, if He allows us to do that. So thank you for time and patience and understanding and going back over some of these things that we looked at way back, and to realize that as we went through Acts, man, it was a commentary just right on down the line. Yep. Unlike some of the other stuff that we've looked at, it seems to be the running commentary. And that should give us some of the answers, if nothing else. God bless.